Welcome to The Upside. My name is Edmund Marquez. Today, our sponsors are the Heath team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson Sugar Skulls, and the Lumify Creative Agency. Welcome. I've got a good buddy of mine here today. This is Bob Hoffman. He is the president of the Tucson Roadrunners hockey team here in Tucson. Welcome, Bob. Great to have you.
Oh, thank you, Edmund. I'm looking forward to this.
Are you Canadian?
I am not.
Okay, just checking.
Right on the border, Ohio.
It's close.
Yeah, close enough, but no, U.S.
Okay, good, good. So this will be very interesting. This will be a great podcast. I am the president of the Tucson Sugar Skulls, and this is my counterpart, the president of the Tucson Roadrunners. We are the two professional teams in town.
Yeah, 100%.
And we're the ones that occupy the Tucson Convention Center Arena. So welcome. Let me just give a mile-high view. Bob Hoffman and the Roadrunners, they are an AHL team, which typically are directly connected to an NHL team, which were related to the Arizona Coyotes, Coyotes.
Well, we were in the past, and then they sold and moved it to Utah.
Yes,
that is new hockey news in the state, which changed a couple of the dynamics there. We stay with that affiliation with the Utah Mammoth, but really, what that also did was made the Tucson Roadrunners, which we found out in kind of some different ways with things we've done in Phoenix and some different kind of events that we are the pro team in the state of Arizona.
Correct.
So that has been kind of an interesting mantle to be on.
Yes. So our Phoenix Coyotes? Well,
They were the Arizona Coyotes.
Arizona Coyotes, yeah. NHL team, now became the Utah Mammoth. They're correct. Out of Salt Lake City. And typically an AHL hockey team feeds into that team. And it was very easy. So anytime you needed to send somebody to the Coyotes, they went right up the freeway in an hour and a half. But now you're putting them on flights to Utah. Yep. And yep. The Mammoth. And how's that going so far?
You know, it's funny when you say it was really easy there before. I mean, you take it for granted. It was perfect. For the Coyotes as well as for us, for fans, for, you know, even partners. You know, we had the opportunity where we could go and, you know, take 20 partners up to a Coyotes game and get a suite up in Glendale or when they were playing in Mullet Arena. You know, it was so perfect. From a hockey standpoint, a player, you know, tweaks an ankle in practice at 10 a.m. and there's a game at 7. Call down here and we'll put a defenseman in a car and drive him up and he'll get in the game that night.
Yeah.
So it was really, really simplistic. It was very, it's something that our league at the AAA level kind of switched to about 10 years ago, right a little before when the Roadrunners came in. So about 12, 13 years ago, to where the National Hockey League teams, the big league clubs, wanted to have their affiliates within a shout because they had too many all around. Like the Coyotes before us were in Springfield, Massachusetts. That's a, you know, a defenseman twists an ankle in practice that morning. You're not going to get there the next day. So it was really a great situation. In moving it to Utah has not been as challenging as I thought that it could be. Has it presented some challenges? Sure.
You're just throwing them on a Southwest jet?
Yeah, it's the flights. We've got to really monitor. We're lucky enough that, you know, Austin and the good folks over at TAA have – you know, some good flights to get them there to
Salt
Lake.
We love Austin at Tucson Airport Authority.
They're such a good people.
Austin is the guy. And Danette Booley's amazing.
They're great to work with. And they can get our guys there quick, which is easy. And worst case, if they have to make that drive to Phoenix, to which they would have been doing to go play, now they drive to Phoenix and jump on a plane if they have to get to another part of the country. Because that's the other thing, too, is you figure they're only in Salt Lake half of the season.
Yeah.
They're on the road the other half. So, you know, it's 50-50 whether or not we're getting a guy sending him to Salt Lake or we're getting a guy and sending him to Boston because the Mammoth are playing the Bruins. So it just depends on where that goes. But, you know, we didn't get a full real look at it this year because, knock on wood, the Mammoth stayed very healthy, which is good for them. But it's also good for us because then we don't have to have that much influx of guys going back and forth.
Yeah.
We've had seasons in the past to where, you know, 30 players have gone back and forth during the course of a season. This year, I think we were at 8.
Yeah, so. where you were different from the Sugar Skulls. I mean, so Sugar Skulls, little sidebar for you. I do sidebars all the time. It's like when you do the direct camera thing.
That's right.
So sidebar on Sugar Skulls. So we're in the IFL, Indoor Football League, but you also have the UFL, you have the CFL, Canadian football, then you have the NFL, and everyone knows what the NFL is. So we're in the mix, but we're kind of at the fourth level. When you talk AHL hockey, you're literally NHL. AHL. So when you go to a Roadrunners game, I'm always amazed by the quality of play and how great those athletes are. It is crisp and clean because you literally have NHL players that are playing. How connected are they? I mean, how much do those players realize they're a breath away from being pulled up? And do all of them go up?
No.
No.
Not all of them. That's the goal for all of them. their entire, you know, hockey existence is to get to the NHL. And for most players, and certainly you look at it almost like I always equate it to baseball because most of the United States is very familiar with that structure. And you may draft a pitcher eighth overall and he's got a 100 mile an hour fastball. He doesn't know where it's going and they need to send him to, sometimes it kills me. You'll get a guy that's a top 10 pick that goes to A ball. And he's got to develop. He's got to learn how to be a pro. He's got to learn what the strike zone is. And you may not see that pitcher in the big leagues for 2 to 3 years. Hockey's very similar. These guys, when they get drafted out of junior hockey or college, typically are a little slighter. They don't have as strong of a core that they're going to need to go play against these men in the National Hockey League. The speed, the size of these guys, it's so physical and fast. And if a guy goes up too quick, I've seen it, you know, a dozen times, he's going to get hurt. And yeah. So our level is to really develop that player and get them ready to go for that. So these guys are well aware of that.
They truly go into a development program with the Roadrunners?
Yep, it's established day one.
So weight training, yep. Core strengthening.
And some of the guys, it's interesting. Like they may have for their development really a lot of on-ice stuff. You need to be better defensively. You need to be better with your stick. You need to be more physical in front of the net. Whatever these little pieces are that a hockey...
How well do they take that, this younger generation?
Well, that's funny you say
Amen.
That.
Amen. No, I'm living it right now with our football players.
They take it fine. I'll say fine. They're good guys, I don't want to start a turf war.
You're hurting feelings?
Well, I don't want to start a turf war with you and me on this, with it. But my opinion, hockey guys are the best athletes there are. They understand the process, too. But are they as good and as receptive as 10 years ago? Maybe not.
Yes. Yeah. So let me just
there's a little bit of entitlement.
Yeah. So this will be interesting. We're going to pretend you guys aren't here for a second. So what we're learning from the Sugar Skulls perspective is that what's happening in college football is you've got NIL and you've got the transfer portal. So instead of truly developing these players in college, these players are literally just transferring. It's a lemon. It's
a pro league.
Yeah. They're just literally moving around to different colleges. I looked at a defensive back this morning that approached us about coming to the Sugar Skulls who played for Michigan State. And we're like, all right, okay, Big Ten, all right. But then to get more money, he went to South Jackson State or like some random school. Like, what the heck? Because he could go get more money for his talents out of the Big Ten. But then you get these players here and we're trying to develop them into, you know, pro-level football players because IFL is pro football. But they're not as developed as they were 10 years ago, according to my coaches, because they're transferring so much. Are you seeing that? Is there NIL or are you dealing with transfer portals?
Yeah, it's similar at the collegiate level. The one thing that hockey's a little bit different in is, I wish I had a completely accurate number to give you with it, but I'll give you a guesstimate that out of all of the 16 to 20-year-old hockey players that are out there, that 40% of them are playing college hockey. And 60% of them are playing junior hockey. So they do not go to college.
They stay in club.
They do. And the junior hockey ranks in Canada, and there's a good program in the U.S. called the USHL. It's remarkable. It is like a pro league, but it's 16 to 20-year-olds. And they can get drafted out of that league at any point. And then the big club retains their rights until they turn pro. So you'll see guys drafted at 18 years old who probably won't play. They can't come to us until they're 20. And then they won't play in the NHL. Maybe
contractually through the NHL.
No, it's more of a handshake agreement with the colleges and the junior leagues to say we're not going to go and poach your 18-year-olds.
And it's a handshake deal because the way I'm seeing the more I'm learning about sports, being an owner now, it's dog eat dog. So I mean, if somebody finds an 18-year-old,
one this year. There was a 19-year-old that came up and played in there, and it's becoming a little bit more. And I think NIL will make it even more noticeable, but. If there's a great player that can contribute at 19, you'll probably see them get a waiver to get them through to come and play at our level. But in theory, the handshake is that you can go play junior until you're 20 and then come to the American League.
But we own your rights. 20,
right. Now, NHL is very different because if you're drafted, you're Sidney Crosby, number one pick overall many moons ago, and you're 17 turning 18, but you're going to probably be the best player on the team the day you step on the ice at 18. You're not going back to junior.
No.
So Pittsburgh put him in the lineup. And they went and won a cup. So
that's amazing.
And then, so you always get those guys that are ready to go, and they're going to go. But that's few and far between. That's three a draft.
So let's take a step back. So you've got NHL. Everyone knows what that is. Mm-hmm. We're learning about AHL with Tucson Roadrunners. Then there's ECHL.
Correct.
And then how many more below? And ECHL is kind of a minor league.
They are 100%. It's, yeah. It's in that baseball structure. It's the AA level.
Right. And then how many more below that?
There's a Southern Professional Hockey League, which has, I want to say they're at 12 teams, kind of Southern, but then also a little up into the Midwest.
Are they legit? Or they're just kind of like, whatever, you didn't make it, you're playing in this league and just because you want to skate?
I would say one player a season is solid enough to possibly jump to a high level at the ECHL to have a chance to the AHL.
So are there multiple levels in the ECHL?
No, no.
That's it.
And they're I think, at 28 teams. NHL's 32, we're 32. ECHL's 28. ECHL's working to get to 32. So it's a true top level AAA, AA structure.
And I just learned your franchise fee. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this publicly, but your franchise fee for ECHL is $6 million.
Correct.
It's $6 million now.
Yeah.
So what's happening, here's a sidebar
and growing
for you.
Yeah, and growing.
Yeah, so what's happening is, so how the heck did the ECHL at 26 teams get to $6 million? They capped it at 26 teams. If you look at the IFL, we're at 14 teams. We're capping at 26. We have a cap number now. But what's happening with these teams, if you look at, like, I'm 52 years old, if you think about what's happening on TV nowadays, when Bob and I were growing up, there were like NBC, CBS, ABC, and then this weird one called Fox came that had this crazy cartoon called The Simpsons. That was it. You know, I'm old enough. I don't know how old you're older than
54,
me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're close to me. Two. I remember UHF, VHF. Like, I remember messing with the antennas on top of the TV. That's how old we are.
I remember that.
Nowadays, there's 1,000 channels. So everyone's fighting for eyeballs. Even this podcast, we're fighting for eyeballs. Well, you got to be eyeballs. And what they've noticed in this landscape of TV that's become so broad is that when you have an NFL game, the eyeballs spike. That's why the NFL receives so many TV dollars. It's crazy. And what's happening is we're starting to see spikes even beyond NBA. You're starting to see WNBA. You're starting to see MLS. You obviously have NHL.
And right? MLB off their best year.
MLB. I mean, it's crazy the amount of eyeballs they put the pitch Dodgers, clock in and all
Ohtani
that.
Dodgers, Ohtani, and all these guys. Oh, I mean, it's last
crazy.
Year's numbers were insane.
You get a fan. You get somebody like Ohtani on the Dodgers. You get a LeBron James on the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And the numbers just go crazy. Imagine if Michael Jordan was around today. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
But even IFL, like we're airing on, we're on Yahoo Sports now. We're on an app called Overnight, and they're paying big money. So sports, because of the TV dollars, it's asinine the amount of money these leagues are now receiving. IFL is trying to get into that. Does AHL, do you have a TV deal?
We do. It's AHL TV through Flow Hockey. So
it's a paywall.
Hockey, it is a paywall. You have to, they're subscription-based.
How many people watch your games?
Oh, the numbers vary, obviously, to go through. But on an average, it's anywhere from 600 to 800 that are dedicated over to our channel per game.
Yeah, we thought we would receive, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, IHL thought we'd receive 12,000, 15,000 watching a game. We're averaging 65,000 watching a game.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
And then our game, the Tucson Sugar Skulls versus New Mexico, broke the record. We had 200,000 people watch our game.
And there's your eyeballs.
It's the most watched game in the history of the IFL.
How about that?
And it was, you know why? Because it was on Yahoo Sports and it came out of an NBA playoff game and it dropped right into our IFL game. And the good news is the Sugar Skulls, we scored on offense, defense, and special teams in the first quarter. So we looked really good.
That is good. That is good. No, sometimes the sun shines on you and you find a great moment like that you can, you know, come out of an NBA game and be able to come
grab awesome.
That's fantastic.
So how many years have the Roadrunners been here?
We just finished our 10th season. So had a nice kind of anniversary campaign throughout and great to relive some of the memories and, you know, recognize some of our longtime fans and partners. But yeah, 10 years, hard to believe. It feels like yesterday, but you know, it's been great.
And so contractually, how many more years do you have in town?
Contractually two.
Two
our lease
seasons.
Runs two more full seasons. So 26, 27, 27, 28. And then the ability through our lease with the city and the arena to extend on 1 year basis is again for 4 additional years after that.
Okay.
So
if needed, but is the grand scheme of things to be in Utah? Because I know you're building an arena. I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot.
No, but. No, you're not putting me on the spot. I mean, it's not a big secret out there, and it's not in Utah. Some of the news that's out there with it, at least, is in Nevada.
Oh, that's right.
In Reno, Nevada, the ownership group of the Roadrunners, which is owned by Alex Morello and his family. They own a GSR casino that is there at in Reno,
and it's they own a casino.
And it's
that's a good gig
resort too. You know, it's the hotels and all this stuff. But it's already, if not the biggest, a top property in Reno, one of the largest employers in the city. And they have, you know, several years ago entered into an agreement with the University of Nevada, Reno, their basketball program, which is coached by Steve Alford. So some folks might know name. And usually one of those kind of mid-major sneak-in type teams and do really well. They had contracted with them to get them a new arena. And so that's all done, happening. The arena's being built. You know, it's got years of development. But that's all for that University of Nevada Reno basketball team. So to look at it from an ownership standpoint, to say, would he relocate his American Hockey League team to, you know, that, you know, all bells and whistles, new arena to partner with the University of Nevada Reno? It's a possibility.
Oh, okay.
It has not been finalized yet. The arena's not built. Excuse me.
That's all right.
But it is something that, you know, could potentially be down the road, which is why those 1-year extensions were put into the lease and being able to to exercise those to go. I mean, I think, you know, what I've talked to partners and fans and about this, and I think one thing that the Roadrunners have done in 10 years here and now 2 more seasons at least, to be able to showcase to our fan base and to those loyal hockey fans. But, you know, we've got our diehards, but we've got people that just love coming to games and the entertainment value that's there. Youth hockey has just absolutely launched since we've been here and have spurned with the Junior Roadrunners and Dave Honecker and his group. They do a great job. You know, I think what we've established is that Tucson is a hockey town.
It sure is.
And with that, you know, you mentioned the ECHL is just an example. Tucson is on the radar for whatever hockey league that's there. The American Hockey League with its 32 teams, they don't just expand to 33.
Right.
So it's almost like musical chairs, and you always have to have a partner. So
yeah,
the idea that a new owner could just bring an American League team in here tomorrow, you know, or in 3 years, whatever happens.
It's not realistic.
It's not impossible, but it's not
pretty
very
impossible.
Probable.
So what Bob's saying in translation is you can't just go add another AHL team and replace the Roadrunners at some point, because you have to be directly related to
Correct.
An NHL team.
Correct.
So there's no magical NHL team that's coming anytime soon. And
well, the good news is the NHL has talked about expanding by 2 teams.
Into Phoenix?
Yes, they're on the list. But the problem is that the Phoenix expansion, it's been very clear from the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, that they need an arena.
Right.
That was the whole problem
with the
Coyotes.
They can't just go back to Glendale?
No.
So,
no, because Glendale's kind of redid that arena to where it's not really hockey capable. Yeah. They took the ice plant out. They tore the locker room.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, we just played in it with our Sugar Skulls playing the Rattlers.
It's just a different setup there that would make it very challenging to put hockey. And there were challenges in Glendale when the Coyotes played there, which is what led them to try to find their own arena and get out of there.
And the Morelos tried to build a casino in Tempe.
They did.
And then Tempe voted it down.
Correct.
Which they were going to build it on a landfill.
Correct.
Right? So I would have thought they'd have voted for it. But we don't
There know. Was just the anniversary of that defeat that I saw all kinds of threads on Twitter, X.
Did you say, congratulations, Phoenix, you no longer have an NHL team.
Amazing.
Way to go.
When you see the feedback now. And I remember thinking I was just living in a bizarro land when that was all happening, because I'm watching all the Phoenix newscasts, because obviously it impacted and was big for the Roadrunners. I mean, it would have been unreal to have that facility. And I'm watching the interviews, and I mean, they're interviewing, you know, a little old lady in Tempe, who's like, you know, it's just going to add more traffic.
My gosh, she already lives in a Phoenix area. Yeah, it's a landfill. It's a stinky landfill.
Well, and a part of the project was to remediate the landfill.
Right.
On their dime.
Yeah. I mean,
this was not public money.
Remediate landfill means remove all the garbage and make it fresh dirt so you could build on it.
Well, and it wasn't public money. It was all a private partnership. But
yeah,
where the public piece of it came into where the vote was even necessary was that it was land owned by Tempe.
Right.
So the voter had to vote to approve the sale of the land, and they turned it down.
So a couple things. Number one is my lunch after this is with Frank Knott. The Mosaic Quarter.
Yeah, tell him I said hello.
I will. So, sidebar, massive, massive demand for hockey in Tucson. You'd think we're in the desert. What the heck? If you go to Phoenix, they have things called the Ice Dens, which they have 5 of them.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, there's like five practice sheets of ice. And I will call it a mixed use space, kind of. It's a sheet of ice. Like there's, I know there's one in Scottsdale, and right outside of it is a restaurant, and you can eat while your kids are playing youth hockey. It's beautiful. I'm shocked we don't have any down here. Thankfully, the Mosaic Quarter, which is a 90-acre, like a $1.2 billion development that's happening out at Keno off Ajo, is building three sheets of ice.
Correct.
And there's such a demand. So right now, as a Sugar Skulls owner, I have to work around the schedule of hockey, as there's a sheet of ice down at the TCC Arena, and it is packed with youth and adult hockey leagues when the Roadrunners aren't playing. So that demand for hockey is going to go over to the Mosaic Quarter. Tell me how the Mosaic Quarter changes things for you.
Oh, I mean, we met Frank back prior to COVID even, and initial discussions and talking about what his vision was perfect for the Roadrunners, because you mentioned that sheet of ice, and when that's down, that's great, and where we can get practice time. But I'll give you an example. You know, when the gym show's here, and we play typically on the last Saturday before the gym show. So I think this year that was January 30th. We could not host another home game until February 22nd.
No.
So that gap of time is on the road. We can't let our guys sleep in their own beds because there's nowhere to practice. We can't. You know, it's out and about. So if we're going to play a Friday, Saturday in Fort Collins, Colorado, we're probably heading in there on Tuesday so that we can practice in Colorado on Wednesday, Thursday before the games, which that's per diem and hotel nights and guys on the road, wear and tear.
Your pain right now, even so, just per diem alone, it's expensive.
So the idea of Mosaic Quarter here, and, you know, Frank's been gracious enough with one of those sheets. You have the U of A side and what's happening there, which is fantastic.
Ice Cats are moving to Mosaic Quarter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But there's another sheet of ice that is going to be available to us, and a little Roadrunner feel to it. And
for practice, or actually to play games?
Just practice.
Is it against the contract of the TCC for you to play games over there?
It would.
Or matches?
I mean, there's some interesting language. You remember two summers ago when there was the thought of playing some games in Tempe, there was some language put in that allowed another possible location to it, but it wouldn't make sense for us to go over there and play from a capacity standpoint. In the rink that he's going to let us use to practice, and putting some office space and stuff in there for our guys when they are over there. I think there's like 600 seats.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so we wouldn't play over there. But from a practice standpoint, what that changes in the gym show is now I don't have to go to Colorado till Thursday night.
Amen.
And my guys can stay here. When the Disney on Ice is here at the beginning of the year, we spend 8 straight days out somewhere.
Man, I thought I was just displaced by you. No, you're displaced by the gym.
Anytime there's anything in there and that ice is gone,
oh yeah,
we got to go find ice somewhere. And sometimes it's even it's not simple, but it's a bus ride to Chandler, which costs money, and you rent ice up there, and our guys will practice in Phoenix.
All of that costs money. As the president of the Tucson Sugar Skulls, everything Bob's talking about just costs you money. So let me jump to one thing, and it'll be our final thing. This show's called The Upside. Tell me where you're headed, and I will say they do an amazing job of running their team. We as the Sugar Skulls look up to the Roadrunners as we watch them operationally, even through their theme nights and their fans and their merchandise. You guys do such a great job. Give me the upside. Where are you headed in these next 2 years?
Well, at least in these next 2 years, I mean, we see the 10th year anniversary is now a way to pivot with new traditions. We have new uniforms we're going to be breaking out next year. We wore a 10th anniversary special uniform this year, so we sort of already got into that world of retiring our old look. So some new looks, some new things we're going to try, pregame concerts that we're looking to do once a month over at the arena, different things that we can say, hey, yes, we love the 10-year history. We love what we've been able to accomplish. The upside is, though, we're going to go and give you all new things, more value for your dollar. We're going to stay as affordable as we've ever been and, you know, create what we hope is a great winter entertainment option for not just sports fans and hockey fans, right? All of Tucson needs to support. Come downtown. It's right around. How walkable downtown is and how easy access and all the parking that's available. You're looking for something to do with your family. We're as affordable as anything else you've got out there. You want to take your family afford to a movie? I'll compete with that $10 bucket of popcorn.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to grow the brand. And one of the things, that we're really proud of that we've done in 10 years, over $1.2 million, raised and donated right back into this community. So the community footprint that we leave, you know, each and every season, we're never steering away from that. So we're always looking for great ways to connect and be a part of everything and anything that is Tucson. If it's happening, we want to be there. We want to be a part of it. And whether you come to a game or not, I want you to. But if you don't, I want you to know who Dusty is, what our logo is, and what we stand for, and that we have true community values. And I'm proud of our team and that we've been able to do that for 10 years. We'll continue to elevate that and do that. So the upside, Tucson's a hockey market. We're going to continue to grow. Hockey will be here for a very, very long time. I have no doubt about that. And, you know, and we'll continue to provide what hopefully is a great option for all the consumers here in Tucson.
Yeah, you guys do an awesome job. So thank you, Bob Hoffman, for being my guest here on The Upside. If you like sports, show up, have fun, fill the seats.
For all
have
the sports.
Yeah, have a great time at Roadrunners, Tucson Sugar Skulls, absolutely. FC Tucson, University of Arizona. Be a sports fan, support your local sports teams. Again, sponsored by the Heath team at Nova Home Loans, the Tucson Sugar Skulls, the Lumify Creative Agency. My name is Edmund Marquez. Thank you for watching The Upside.